that's what's going to be happening to those who take that kind of stand in the United States soon. The so-called Christian world, the Christian church, they're all going to be in politics. They're all going to be behind somebody, and they're going to be persecuting those of us who say, hey, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not a citizen of the United States. I'm a citizen of heaven. My kingdom is of the one that's in heaven. It's coming to earth. It's going to destroy this kingdom, including the United States. So I was blessed by what Steve was saying last night. We're supposed to be strangers and pilgrims. Are we really strangers and pilgrims? How many people are really strangers and pilgrims in this world? I mean, we say it, but is this world really a strange, are we strangers in this world and pilgrims in this world? Not just to the unsaved. You know, we automatically think, oh, the unsaved. I have nothing to do with the unsaved. I don't talk to the unsaved. Their life is, I'm not talking about the unsaved. I'm talking about this life, life in general. Are we strangers and pilgrims just to life? You know, everybody's strangers and pilgrims to the sin, to the evil things. I'm talking about the good things, the things that are God-given and blessed and moral and right. Those things had no attraction for Paul either. That man was walking in tabernacles. Now he was ministering. I think he had all nine gifts. If you read Acts and read what he did, it doesn't say that, but I mean, I really feel that Paul had all nine gifts working. But he had a lot of them working at least. That's for sure. Like he rejected the gifts. But he said, when I was a boy, when I was a child, that was my focus. You know, my focus was my ministry. When I grow up, my focus isn't that anymore. I still minister. I still want to be here to help God's people. But man, my focus is on Christ, His kingdom. Going, I want to go be with Him. This life has nothing for me. And that's not true of practically all Christians. It's not true of many people who are called to sonship, even, who are called to tabernacles, who are walking in a measure of this. So I don't know if I made any sense in all that, but there is a difference between tabernacles and Pentecost. And I guess what I want to say is when Paul, well, whoever wrote Hebrews, I don't know who wrote Hebrews, but the writer of Hebrews was talking to the Jewish Christians, and he said, you gotta let go of the first to be established in the second. You know, he's talking about the Judaistic religion. He said, you gotta let go of all that Judaism. Just let go of it all. You can't have one foot in Judaism, one foot in New Covenant. It's not gonna work. You're gonna go back and back and back and draw back into perdition. Let go of everything of that old religion so you can be established in the New Covenant. And I think that's sort of somewhat the same with us who have been called past Pentecost. Not that we have to renounce our gifts, renounce any kind of ministry, but we got to get the focus off of that and let that go for a while. Just let it go and focus on what God's doing. Go focus on this travail, the labor that we have to put forth in with Jesus. I mean, we're co-laborers with Him, the scripture says. We can't do without Him, but He's not going to do without us. We're co-laborers. It's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, okay? We have to focus on the labor to bring forth Christ. And you can't do that when you're focused on ministry and focused on gifts and focused on constant activity in the Pentecostal realm. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying if God's called you into something deeper, then you've got to let that go. Let it go and let God bring into this travail to bring forth Christ. And if there's any opportunity to ministry, then minister. You know, if there's opportunities there, fine. But that's not our focus anymore. Our focus is on this labor. It's on this labor to bring forth Christ, to bring forth the man-child life. Because man-child life is precious. It's a precious commodity right now. Very few people walking in it. And that's the life that's going to overcome the dragon in the end. That's the only kind of life that's going to overcome the dragon in the end. Between this Antichrist spirit and when it was actual physical, literal, geopolitical thing that comes down, where you can't buy or sell. It's the only thing that's going to overcome all that is life, man-child life. You know, and that's why the dragon's sitting in front of that woman just waiting to devour that man-child, because he can't stand that man-child life. It's the man-child life that's going to raise us up in the heavenly places and keep us up there. It's the man-child life that's going to take his throne away when Jesus comes back, dethrone him and all his demons, and take away his power and his authority. It's the man-child life that's going to make us rulers and make us capable and make us able to rule all nations with a rod of iron. It's the man-child life that's going to produce a rod of iron. You know, so his man-child life is very important, and it only comes through travail and labor. And it's good to have our focus where it's supposed to be in order to have that done. If you're a split focus, if you have one foot in Pentecost and one foot in Tabernacles, it's going to be gray, confusing, and you're not going to be able to keep a clear vision. That's one of the reasons our vision is clear. We've been out of churches for 30, 40 years. I've been out of churches all my whole life, and it's very clear to me what goes on. I'm very aware of why I sort of dropped out of the loop after I wrote number six of my Babylon Rising series. I haven't been keeping up with what's going on too much, but up until that point, I was keeping up very much on what's going on in church, all the churches, all different denominations and everything. And once you're out and you understand the vision and you got it in your brain and you're walking in it and you're pursuing it, it's very clear. But if you got friends in church and you got people you're still trying to drag out, or you're involved with people still in church and you're not sure what's going on, what's this tabernacle stuff, it's just confusing. It doesn't work. You know, you somewhere you're going to be sort of siphoned off and fall back into some kind of ministry or something, and you're not going to end up producing the man-child life. Does that make sense to anybody, or was I just rambling on? I don't know. Rebecca says, right now, I would say there's nothing in this world that I care for, but as soon as I say that, the Lord might show me things I've... Not true. All we can do is say what you feel. Be honest with God and honest with ourselves, that's all we can do. Only God knows the heart. But yes, it's not good enough to talk about it. We got to get to that place where nothing, there's nothing in this life holding us. Just nothing. And at any second, I say, oh, I can be with Christ. If he let me, I go right now. That's, you know, people say that, but you know it's not true for most of them. Isn't that true? So, anybody have anything else? Go ahead. Anybody have anything to share? Well, you said I was going to get warmed up, so I got you warmed up now. Go ahead. Who's going to share something? Well, what's God doing in everybody's life? Anything? Jay Jones says, many people say they have convictions, but they don't live by them. Amen. Amen. Okay, good. Sissy's going to have something to share. Hang on, Sissy. Go ahead.
Hi, Brother Dan. Hi, everybody. It's interesting, you know, until I came out of the Pentecostal church, and I started listening to Brother Lumley and to you, Dan. I didn't realize it, but the Lord was taking me through Tabernacles, and he's still working on me. Didn't even realize that that's where I was or where I was going, having been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I thank the Lord for that. And I knew there had to be more. I knew it. And I just praise God. I thank you. I thank you so much for this teaching this evening. It's really been a blessing because it's confirming what I've been seeing in God's Word and what He's been doing in my life. It's a process, isn't it? But the Lord is so patient and so wonderful. And I just praise Him tonight. Thank you.
Oh, amen. Great. Thanks for sharing. I sound like I was rambling on there and babbling for a while. I didn't know if I was making any sense or not. Because it's not real easy to discern the difference. It's, you know, subtle, and there's gray areas. But there is definitely a difference. And God's calling people. That's what happened in the 48. God was calling people past Pentecost. And that call went out to the Pentecostal brethren. That's why the Assemblies of God was the big one that got it. Because that's Pentecostal. In 1948, all these different men started getting these revelations of something past Pentecost. Of course, it went into Pentecostal churches, and then they tried to share it with the people in the churches, and they called them a cult and booed them out or said, we don't want to hear it, you shut up. That's why they came out. That was the big exodus in 48 out of the churches, not because the churches were apostate like they are now, but because God was giving a trumpet sound that there's something more. There's a feast coming up. You can partake of the first two parts of Tabernacles in this age. You don't have to wait till the next age. Now, the last part, which is booths, Tabernacles proper, that doesn't happen until Jesus comes back. It's the Feast of Joy, and that's just the opposite of what we're experiencing right now, is the joy. You know, we're experiencing death and suffering. But that's going to be the third part of that feast is fulfilled in the millennium. And that's where some of these people got off, some of these groups who had this word. They thought God was saying the entire feast is going to be fulfilled in this age. And when they brought the booths proper back into this age, then a whole lot of crazy things went off doctrinally. And that's how the manifestation of Sons of God era got out there, when people thought they already manifested, which is stupid, because if you're already manifested, I want you to walk through my wall. Otherwise, don't even talk to me. But there was. People think they're manifested. And they're still out there. There's still groups out there that think they're manifested. You know, it's like, how can you explain people like that? It's the same kind of people who think the devil's bound. Preterists who think the devil's bound. How can you think the devil's bound? People chopping up their babies and, I mean, the Jeffrey Dahmers of the world. You think the devil's bound? You're nuts. But anyway, so that's what happened. They got this, a lot of them got this vision. They heard a trumpet sound, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they didn't realize only the first two parts of this feast are going to be filled in this age. And the third part, the final Tabernacles, the booth, is the next age. And that when you bring it back in this age, then you get the great revival doctrine, you get the, like Bill Britton was teaching, we're going to empty out the hospitals and we're going to have a stadium full of people and all, the great revival and all this kind of stuff. It's not true. And that's the kind of stuff that filtered back into the church system in the last 10 or 15 years from people like Rick Joyner. People who were, that's right, Dominionists. People who were around. There was Rick Joyner and a couple of them that were around the Latter Rain movement. And they had that doctrine in them, but they're under another spirit, and they're preaching a false view of it. So some of that has come back in the system as a perverted doctrine and is connected with the Dominionists and has become their main doctrine now. So you go to any fundamentalist websites, like what they call discernment sites, who are discerning and not discerning, they're exposing apostasy and they're warning everybody about the apostasy. A lot of them will connect the dots from what's going on inside the church, Toronto, Brownsville, and all that, the new breed, the chosen seed, and all that, with the latter rain of 48. Because some of the people that were in 48 are still alive, and they're now in a church. One of them was Rick Joyner, and they're putting a perverted version of that doctrine of what God showed back in the churches now, which they deserve. That's what the churches deserve. They deserve to have people like Rick Joyner, who is deceived, give a perverted version of the truth God gave his people 40 years ago. They deserve because they're following a false Jesus and they don't want to hear the gospel. So if you may run across people, if you ever talk about tabernacles, or like say the manifestation of sons of God, that's a dirty word. The sons of God, manifestation of sons of God is a dirty black word in the church world. You say that to anybody that has any kind of, is over 50, and they're going to say, bing, latter rain, you're a latter rain heretic. That's all they know. You can talk about the bride or the wife of the lamb or a woman or anything else, but you talk about the sons of God, because the latter rain doctrine came out with all that error. Sons of manifestation, sons of God, and all that. The term sons of God is still blacklisted, still has a big onus over it. And anybody over 50, you use that term, they're going to tell you you're a latter rain heretic. So if you ever, I'm just telling you that, so if you ever come across a fundamentalist website, a discernment site who's exposing apostasy, and they mention tabernacles, or some of them even mention George Warnock. George Warnock wrote a book called The Feast of Tabernacles, which we used to give out for, we've given probably hundreds and hundreds of copies of that out for years and years and years. I don't give it out anymore, because George was one of those, like so many, who got confused and believed tabernacles proper was going to be back in this age too, or at least starting this age. And therefore, some of his doctrine is not quite right in that book. It's not real clear. You don't notice it. But after, I didn't know it until years and years and years after we gave it away. But it's bad enough that I'm not going to give the book away anymore. But that's what happened to a lot of them. A lot of these people, that was good truth. They just got confused. They don't know that tabernacles proper, the booth, does not come to the millennium. But everything else comes now. As long as you keep it that way, you're not going to get deceived. You're not going to get any kind of error. So if you'll hear that, if you come to the tabernacles and you start reading about it, or you start talking tabernacles, or start talking about the sons of God, manifestation of sons of God, you're bound to run into somebody, and they're going to tell you that that's latter rain heresy. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, Seattle Park. Go ahead, Seattle.
Praise the Lord. I was thinking about the whole dominion mindset that, we're going to overtake government and cities and all walks of life now before Christ returns. And that's very popular among many people. But, the scripture says that there's nothing new under the sun. And if you go back in Jesus's day, the disciples were very mindful of that, too. They had a view of Messiah coming to set up his kingdom, but they didn't realize that that was going to come through the cross. And so they wanted Christ in their day to overthrow Rome and to drive out the unbelievers and set up his earthly kingdom there. And, Judas was minded towards that. I think Barabbas, who was an insurrectionist and wanted to overthrow Rome, but he wanted to do it his own way. He was a murderer and tried to set it up his own way. And it's the same spirit of those people that don't understand victory comes through the cross. Victory comes through what the world sees as weakness. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he looked like a loser. He looked like he didn't win. And the mockers went by wagging their tongues at him and shaking their heads thinking that he'd lost. But that was the very means by which he defeated the devil. And it's the same for us. Many are looking to have victory by the flesh, by rising up and taking over government and being powerful, not understanding that our victory comes through dying with Christ, through dying out to the things of this world, and in the life to come, that's when we're going to see the manifestation of the full victory.
Amen. That's right. Thanks for sharing, Seattle. That's exactly right. The Dominionists have got it all backwards. They're gonna conquer through life, and Jesus said you gotta conquer through death. That's the way it goes, and it's all through Scripture. So how do they miss it? I don't know. Well, thanks for sharing. I'm glad you guys are sharing. Anybody else want to share anything? Should I share another song? Hang on a second. Let me see if I can find the words here quick. I'll put them up. Let me see. It's called "Whenever I Start a Walking." Songs of Zion, there, you see that, sons, we sing the Songs of Zion. To me, that's the Songs of the Overcomer, Songs of Tabernacle, Songs of the Sons of God sing, songs that have a deeper meaning and revelation than, you know, the normal songs. Anyway, this, it goes something like this. I'll see if I can do it. Whenever I start a-walking in the word I heard, then my feet become like hinds feet on the mountain of the Lord. And I start leaping over the mountains, and I start skipping over the hills, and I soar above the heavens like an eagle over the mountains and the fields. And we sing the songs of Zion with a voice that's loud and sure, and the chains I know become stepping stones as we work upon God's word. Whenever I start a-walking in the word, I've become like hinds feet on the mountain of the Lord. And I start leaping over the mountains, and I start skipping over the hills, and I soar above the heavens like an eagle, like the mountains and the fields. As we sing the songs of Zion with a voice that's loud and sure, and the chains I know become stepping stones as I act upon God's word. Whenever I start a-walking in the word I've heard, when my feet become like hinds feet on the mountains of the Lord, and I start leaping over the mountains, and I start skipping over hills, and I soar above the heavens like an eagle over the mountains and the fields. As we sing the songs of Zion with a voice that's loud and sure, and the chains I've known become stepping stones as I act upon God's word. Well, that was terrible. Anyway, anybody ever hear that one before? Well, I apologize for not being on last week and not telling anybody, except I had a little physical problem, and I couldn't get to a computer to make an announcement on my website, so I called Steve and asked him to say something to y'all, those who are on his program. So you can keep me in prayer. I have a little physical problem I'm dealing with, but God's good. Whatever His will is, that's what I want. Oh, Grace says I was singing with you. Good, Grace. We should go on the mic, and then we'll let you sing it. Purim says, how long have you been walking with me? Oh, I've been, okay, I'm, what am I now, 49? I'm 49, I'm sorry. I came back to the Lord when I was 24. When I was a teenager, I was raised in a Christian home. My mother was a good Christian, staunch good Christian. But I was a teenager, I rebelled, went off in the world. And I was down in Texas, living in Texas, San Antonio, Texas, by Fort Sam. And I was doing drugs and living a really bad lifestyle. Okay, and I heard the voice of the Lord. It wasn't audible, but it was very clear. It says, if you don't turn around, you're going to be dead this time next year. So I knew it was the Lord. I knew I was living in sin. I knew I was backslidden. I was never taught eternal security, so I knew it wasn't secure. I knew I'd go to hell if I died in that state. And so when I heard that, I just turned my life over to the Lord. I got scared, and I decided to turn my life back to the Lord, and I gave it 100%. And when I came back to the Lord, I came back to Pennsylvania to be my parents to get my system cleaned out. I spent 6 months in a bedroom. My parents didn't make me go to work right away. They said, just get situated with the Lord. So I spent 6 months in a bedroom with my Bible and got my mind cleaned out and my body cleaned out of all the drugs and everything, and I picked up the guitar and got some books out teaching guitar chords, learned some songs, and they were out of the system, so we had home fellowships, and that's how sort of I was born again, or came back to where I was rebirthed into that kind of environment where there's no structure and everything, and people were free to move, pray, and that's sort of where we've been living ever since, just that kind of life, just following the Lord. Karen says, you have a good web. Thank you. Thank you. You know, it's funny because, you know, for many years, the Lord wouldn't let me put anything up on the website. I don't know exactly why, but every time I thought about doing it or tried to do it, I got checking. He would not let me do anything with a website, with my books and stuff. And he cut me loose last year, or last 6 months or so, and not only my stuff, told me to put other stuff on it. I got a whole set of tapes on the tabernacle, on the Feast of Tabernacles. All the feasts goes through from beginning to end. Tabernacles, the whole thing. It's a very good series. Never know what the Lord's going to do or why, but it's interesting, because I wanted to put a website up for a long time, and I couldn't. The Lord wouldn't let me, so all of a sudden, bing! There it is. Strange. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Rebecca says, the one on the feast are about the best we've ever heard. Eli Miller. He had a good word on that, man. He had a lot of good insight. They're the best. They are the best. Well, hallelujah. Anybody else have anything? I see Harold's here. How you doing, Harold? Uh-oh. Rebecca's going to say something. Go ahead, Rebecca.
Well, since nobody else does, I guess you're stuck with me. Sissy's the only other one so far tonight. But we sure appreciate you, Dan. Your word is really good. I had a question about, have you heard or have dealt much with universalism? I heard another a brother that in the Lord that we really enjoyed a lot of his teachings and stuff. And then all of a sudden we hear that he is moving more towards universalism, where I believe it's taught that after the remnant is saved and all that and all said and done, that everybody's going to be saved. And it's crazy that how people are falling for this. And it's not just the real wackos out there. It seems like people that are really... should have been grown in the Lord enough to know the difference. I've heard if you've heard about any of this.
Yeah, I have. It's getting pretty common. Actually, it's very common outside the system, among the remnant outside the system. A lot of people came out in 1948, got involved in it later on. It's a real bad doctrine. Some of them call it ultimate reconciliation, but originally it was called universalism. It was originally in a denomination back in 1800s. But it went outside the denominations, and then it made a recovery, a revival, whatever, a comeback. When all those people left in 1948, some of the names that were names that came out of that got involved. Like one was, I can't remember his name. He was one of the big guys outside the system promoting it. He's very famous. I know his name. Somebody sent one of his articles a long time ago, and I had a rebuker. That's very common out here. It's getting back now. It's going back into the churches. There's a big name evangelist that accepted it not too long ago. You'd all know his name, but I can't remember it. The teaching is that hell is not permanent. The basic idea is hell's not permanent. Hell's like purgatory. They don't teach people aren't going to go to hell at all. What they teach is you're going to go to hell and get purged. You're going to spend times. Did Billy Graham believe that? I didn't know that. Anyway, you go to hell and you are purged of your sin, and then everybody's going to get saved. You know, hell is a purging place. It's not a permanent place of torment or punishment. It's like a purgatory. It purges you. It's a purging. And they go through the scriptures and take things out of context, certain words like all. Like, as all die, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all shall be made alive. Well, of course, that only means all in Christ are going to be made alive, not all. In Christ is the phrase that gives you the meaning of the all there, you know. But there's some verses that they take that aren't real clear. You can't have an answer right away. Like there's one verse that says Jesus is a savior of all men, especially those who believe, you know. And that there is kind of a hard one to decipher. But they take the word like all, words like all, and they say like all men, and they'll take them in the most literal, strictest sense. And say, see, God all. I know there's a lot of them there. Carlton Pearson, that's it. Carlton Pearson has accepted that. He's, you know, a big name now inside the church. So once somebody like that starts accepting it, it'll probably start catching on inside the system, you know. But for years, it has been outside the system, you know. Chip Brogdon? Are you saying Chip Brogdon's the one that's teaching that? Oh. Okay. Yes? Wait a minute. Somebody said no, somebody said yes. Okay, so you're saying, Rebecca's saying Chip Brogdon's new book is leading that way. So he's not actually teaching, but he's leading that way, right? As you're saying, right? Okay. Yeah, they usually start leaning that way before they end up accepting it. But that's what it is. It's and there's lots of scriptures. I went to one website. They have 500 scriptures that they base it on. 500. Not everyone went through and looked at all of them, but there's a lot. So it's not... God made the Bible that way. He made the Bible that if you have a wicked heart, you can get out of it what you want. You know? So... I don't know. But that's what it is. They teach it. One of the things they do is they take the word, the Greek word aeon, which means ages, and they try and, they don't use the King James Bible. Most of these people, they won't use the King James Bible. They use another version, other versions, or some special version. I forget the name of that special version they use. It's a concordant. It's called a concordant version. But anyway, they won't use the King James, but they take these Greek words, like aeon, which can mean a period, an age, or ages, you know, a period of time, or it can mean forever, you know. And they try and twist it to say that it only means ages. So when Jesus said you're going to burn forever, or the scriptures say you're going to burn eternally, they say that doesn't mean eternal. It doesn't mean eternal. The Greek means just an age or ages. So you're going to go burn in hell for ages, plural, but not forever, you know. And they just have all kinds of arguments. And if you're open to it, some of them sound logical, you know. They don't all sound far out. Some of them sound very logical. Now, I'll tell you what, some of the people, I don't know about all of them, but I know a lot of people get involved with that because they can't stand the fact that they have loved ones that died unsaved, okay? We know somebody personally who had a brother who was very close to her. She loved him very much, but he was unsaved, got in a hunting accident, died. She knew he died, you know, a lost sinner, and it was just weighed on her mind. Weighed on her mind, and she couldn't get over it. And some guy came around preaching ultimate reconciliation, and she snapped it up. And she's been believing ever since, for years and years and years. So, I think part of it's emotional. People who have loved ones that died, they can't stand the thought they're going to be in hell. That's one thing that moves people to that. I said this teaching holds great appeal to the flesh, right? But where is the fear of the Lord? It makes me wonder, as I said, if this isn't like the ultimate deception in the enemy's arsenal, because it's so constrictive that everyone's embraced its height. Yeah, it's very. As a matter of fact, one time I set out to write a book against it because it is hard to deal with, but it's not impossible. You know, for every scripture they have, you can untwist every scripture they twist. It's not it takes a lot of work, but you can untwist everyone they twist with a little work. And I set out to do that one time when I first started writing. I think it was between my first two books. It was between Unmasking and Restoring the Soul, I think. Some lady we were in contact with, another woman, was getting involved with it. And no, this woman was a minister. She was ministering outside the camp. She was writing booklets. She's hooked up with me and wanted me and her to get together. She was in this against UR real bad. She had friends to get into it. She was really bitter, and she wanted to expose it and write books about it. And she tried to talk me into helping her or getting involved with her to write a book about it. And I wanted to because, you know, it's an evil, evil doctrine. But before I could even start, I had a real clear dream, and God stopped me in my tracks. So I don't know why that was, but it undermines the fear of the Lord, absolutely. Okay, if you're going to go to hell for an aeon or an age, what's it matter? You're still going to get out sooner or later. You know, in the end, nobody's going to be lost. In the end, there's nothing to fear. You know, it's like getting a beating. Okay, well, I'm getting a beating. I don't like it. It hurts, but the beating's over. You know, so it's a terrible, terrible doctrine. I guess it's going to catch on the church probably now because you already got the thing where they don't believe in hell, right? That's making way inside the system. People no longer believe in hell. So that's the next logical step. It should just don't believe God's not the kind of God. You know, that's not the kind of God we serve. He's a God of love, right? That's the Antichrist spirit tells everybody. Love, 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 love. God will never do anything wrong to you. God wants you to have a good life now. God wants to bless you now. And that's the kind of God Christianity is going into. It's the kind of God Christianity is serving and promoting. And it matches the world. So I can see where that could take over the church very quickly. No problem. But it's bad. It's very bad. It's very demonic. And I think it's a spirit behind it. It's actually a demon spirit behind it. Because I've talked to people about many doctrines. And you can usually move people. With enough scripture, enough anointing, you can usually move people. At least a little bit while they're in your presence. Off of false doctrine. I've never been ever been able to touch anybody that has accepted that. Really. They can't be touched. I've never seen anybody get out of it. So I'm convinced it's a powerful, powerful demon. Yeah, SDA teaches annihilation. But that's not quite the same, is it? Annihilation is not quite the same as this. But that's also another one. But people who, I know it's people who believe in annihilation end up in this also, too. It's like a stepping stone also. Purim, the true gospel of dying to self and not property. That's right. So they tickle people's ears. No eternal hell, just go poof. Yeah, just go into the nothingness. I bet you they wish it was. A lot of people are going to wish that was true. David, on the day of the Lord, they're going to wish that was true. Okay, Jay Jones says, if not for Steve L. and you, and now you, I think I would throw my... and not listen to anyone, but just keep it in word state to myself. I came out of that much... yeah, great. Well, the Lord's faithful. The Lord can use anybody he wants. And there's a lot of people coming out. There is a lot of people coming out, so... I'm glad the Lord hooked you up with Steve for a while. Steve's a good brother. Amen. I'd be interested to see if Chip Brogdon actually goes into that. What's the name of that book? Because he usually has a good word. Prim says she goes to a site a lot, so she's surprised. Yeah. I don't keep up with them too much. I mean, I've read some of the stuff, and it seems good, you know, so I don't know. I'm not surprised that anybody could get tricked right now the way things are going, really. I mean... Spirit deception is very, 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 very powerful right now. If possible, the very elect will be deceived. Amen. That's right, Seattle. Thank you. Truth, nothing is. Rebecca says he has it listed on his site. Okay, that's right. I can go look. Don't worry. Don't bother yourself. That's okay. I'll go look at it. I just be interested in seeing that. It's interesting. I see many people who are solid people go down. Over the years, a lot of people outside the system that I would never thought would fall went down, got involved in crazy doctrines. You just never know. Jay Jones says, I really enjoyed your article, Overcoming Drink Brother. Oh, great. Thank you. Good. I'm glad you did. That's why I got to keep an eye on everybody. I read my, let's see, what was that book I wrote? It was called Guard Your Truth. I wrote in Guard Your Truth, I said, we got to keep an eye on everybody. Got to keep an eye on the people ministering to you. Got to keep an eye on your family. Got to keep an eye on yourself. Got to keep an eye on everybody around you. You gotta watch, because you never know. You know, just all of a sudden you turn around, somebody you never thought would be gone is gone, and in some kind of deception. If you're not careful, you follow them right in it. Irresistible kingdom. So is that the name of it? Irresistible kingdom. I it's very clear to me that it's going to get dark. I mean, it's dark, dark, darkness cover the earth. It's going to look like the devil's won. You know, but God has His people in secret. He's preparing. Two are here, one of a city. The scripture says, one of a city, I'll take you one of a city, one of a family, or two of a city like that, and bring to Zion. That's the overcomers. And he's going to take one of a city here, and two of a family here, and over here. And God has covered, he has hidden his jewels he's making. And then the day of the Lord, he's going to reveal them. But until then, it's going to look like the devil's won. Because everywhere you turn, and that's what it says in Daniel, everything he does prospers. Talking about the little horn. Everything he does prospers. You know, and that's what it's going to look like. It's going to look like the devil has won. And at the darkest time in history, at the darkest point, that's when the Lord's going to come back, a flash of light. You know, and you get to, when you have a flash of light, the darkest point, that makes the light even greater. And that's what I see is going to happen, how this whole thing's coming down in general. You know, it's going to look like Satan's won. And the people that aren't overcome are going to be separated in little points here and there, and little coves here and there. And all of a sudden, when the Lord comes, all those jewels are going to be revealed. And the light's going to shine right through that darkness. But you got to stand and endure till the end. That's the trick. Rebecca says, is there irresistible kingdom? That in itself is a giveaway. How does it make sense that the kingdom of God is irresistible to man when the king of the kingdom... that's true. That'd be a shame if he's really going there. That'd be another tragedy. But there's many tragedies happening right now. Just got to make sure we're not one of them. Hey? Eh? Keep on the straight and narrow. Keep serious. Make sure we're not one of them. That's right. Another reason to keep your eyes on Jesus and not man. Amen, Seattle. Amen. Anyone can fall. That's very real to me. And the more real it is to you, the better you are. I mean, the more of a chance you have not fallen. The less real it is, the more of a chance you have fallen. It's real to me because I've had friends that fell. You know, it's not a book. I'm not reading a book. I'm not hearing stories. I've had people who have been deep in the Lord and as well as children of the Lord. I've all kinds of people I've known, from babes to fathers. I've seen them fall. That puts the fear of God in you, puts the seriousness in you, soberness in you. Brother Jim wants to share. Hang on a second here. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Dan, what you just said about the Lord having his gems hidden out, you know, different towns all over the place, that's a real word of encouragement. I mean, yeah, I'm walking this walk out with fear and trembling, that's for sure. But it seems like it's really kind of gotten lonely, like for my wife and I, and just kind of wondering what's going on. And as I typed in before, if it wasn't for Steve Lumley and now yourself, you know, there wouldn't be much encouragement. I praise God for what I believe He's been showing me, but when you hear other people like yourself or Steve articulate it and put it in print and things like that, it really helps the person keep their sanity. But just that word about the Lord hiding His gems, and I say that not with pride, God forbid, like I said, with fear and trembling, but it really gives me hope. And so I just thanks for that.
Oh, praise the Lord. Well, thanks for sharing. I'm glad I encouraged you. Amen. Amen. We need encouragement. Somebody wrote me one time an email and said, why don't you think God's bringing all these people together? You know, all these people who are out here in different places and they all have a vision or similar visions at least, you know. And how come you don't think God brings them together? And I said, because first of all, God's going to get the glory, you know. And if we get together, you know, every movement, everything turns into a movement. Every time God brings people together, they turn into a movement, they turn into a denomination, or somehow dilute it, you know. And I said, I think God's just going to make sure there's no chance that we're going to dilute the thing, turn into a denomination, make a king, or anything like that. He's going to keep us separated, do the work, and bring us all together when it's time. Purim says, I was shocked about Billy Graham, but I heard him on Larry King, and he said that Christ was not the... Yes, I heard that. He said Jesus was not the only way. Yes, I did know that. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I quoted that, but I quoted him several things he said was very wrong in one of my books. That was bad. He became an apostate, as far as I'm concerned. That's what you get for compromising. Once you start down that road of compromise, if you don't stop it, that's where you end up. Seattle Paul says, yeah, well, cash in on what God's shown them. Yeah, get rich. Yeah, I can start selling my books. I'll make myself a song CD, and sell it. He was also a Mason. Who, Billy Graham? Purim says he was a Mason. You're talking about Billy Graham, right? Terrible. Well, we just got to be encouraged. Stay with the Lord. Keep the walk tight every day. Anybody else have anything? Maybe if not, we'll shut her down. Or if you have anything else to share. Well, I guess I babbled on enough. Unless anybody has anything else. I'm glad you all got something from it. That's all that matters. The truth is what matters, right? Amen. So we'll close it out for tonight. And I really appreciate y'all coming. We'll see y'all next week if God willing and the river don't rise. Huh? Thanks.